Imagine a world in which post-traumatic stress no longer robs from millions who suffer.
You don't want to get help because you're embarrassed. You don't want to tell people the dark stuff that you've went through.
That stigmatism of you can't talk to people is so true.
Post-traumatic stress is not a disorder. It's an injury that can be healed quickly so that those who suffer get back to thriving in their families, communities, and mission.
And I said, I don't want to live this trauma again. Yeah. And he goes, You don't have to. Yeah. And I said, What?
The experts, they forgot to tell me I can heal. I didn't know that I can get rid of PTSD.
Each week, we tell a skeptical world what is possible with stories of those who have successfully cured their trauma.
I just remember being able to stand by the water and look up at the sky and hear the noises, and I didn't think they were gunshots. I was like, those are Disney fireworks.
I don't even know what to imagine for myself now, my future, because I have one.
This is Life After PTSD. On today's episode, we revisit one of the many faces of PTSD, birth trauma. And today we welcome a mama who's about to give birth to baby number 4. Spoiler alert. She's excited for the delivery, but there was a twist and you need to hear about it. And that's today's episode. My name is Jeff McLaughlin, your host. This is Life After PTSD. With me, I've got my wife today. Not my work wife, right? That's what we... There's no Carrie. Sorry, Carrie. No Carrie today, right? But today, Shannon, say hey.
Hi, everyone.
Our guest today is we've known her. We've known her husband for a long time. I'm thinking, Christy, is it like 10 years now? Are we coming up on 10 years that we've known you guys? I mean, yeah, we knew you when, you know.
We did.
So Christy Bruno, welcome to Life After PTSD, and it's good
Thank
to have you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. Hey, so today we're going to, first of all, I want to tell our listeners today before we get started that when we ask people to tell a story, our goal is never to exploit. We want to make sure that, you know, everyone is comfortable sharing whatever it is that the story is. And, you know, I had this idea, I wanted to ask Christy at one point, you know, just would you be willing to kind of, you know, talk with us today and tell us what, you know, what you've been going through. And so we got connected. In fact, I'm going to leave it there. We're just going to go roundabout with this whole thing. And I, Christy, if you would start by letting the listeners know, you know, maybe of some of the stuff that we did just a few weeks ago, but before we get into the actual treatment, just talk about how you reached out or, you know, that sort of thing. I think it was you and Shannon that connected. What was the story there? How did we even work together a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, so it happened. We were kind of reconnected through Instagram. Thank God for social media. And, you know, I posted like a pregnancy picture, and I think you commented on it, and I just reached out for prayer and just kind of opened up, knowing that, you know, you guys were mentors to me, and just asked for prayer because of what was going on in my mind and the fears that I was having, and I just couldn't shake it. And I knew something wasn't right. So I was just, hey, can you pray for me? This is what I'm struggling with. And just Shannon was encouraging. It was like, hey, I can help with this. You know, let me get you connected with Jeff. And it kind of all went uphill.
I now know what it feels like to be voluntold. And it's awesome. I just got to say that. It's awesome. We got to work. So before we, you know, we'll jump into that in a second. All right. That's you know, often the climactic moment of the episode. But, you know, Christy, so we've known you and your husband for, gosh, I mean, like we said, maybe coming up on 10 years or whatever. Tell the audience just sort of your family story, and y'all have some kiddos before the one that's on the way as well. And so if you would just give them a picture of who you guys are.
Yes. So I am married to my husband. His name's Roberto. For 7 years, we met in the summer of 2010, and we met leading worship together. And that's kind of the passion that kind of brought us together, and got married the summer of 2013 by Jeff McLaughlin. That was really special. And about 2.5 years later, got pregnant. It was a surprise, but we were so excited about it. And
I didn't cover that part of prep for marriage. That's what it was. Hey, by the way, when you get married, that can happen. Sorry, I should have told you that.
Totally. So yes, it did happen. And then it kept happening.
Sorry, that can also happen multiple times. I should have also told you that. I feel like I did a horrible job of preparing you guys.
You guys have, we're coming up on 4 kids. 3 out of 4 have been surprises. So, yeah.
That's all right. We were 5 for 5 in that department, Christy. I think we told you that at one point.
It's our fault. We started the problem.
Aren't surprises great, though? Can we just be honest about that? Like, they're great.
These are the best surprises. Biggest blessing.
So you have first. Yeah, sorry. I was going to ask you, the first one comes along, right? And tell me, because we did a lot of our work in sort of marital stuff. I remember the night that you guys came over to our place and we talked about just getting ready for the birthing experience and everything. But honestly, I don't remember like where your sort of morale was or where you, you know, about like having babies. And I maybe I spent more time talking to Roberto that night. I just really don't remember. So where were you? Like, where was your mindset going into that first pregnancy and specifically the delivery?
Yeah, my mindset going into that night where you guys had us over, it was very open. I knew I kind of wanted to go the natural route, but didn't really know how that could happen. So when we were over there and you just encouraged us and just explained the scientificness of birth and the, if that's the word, and just the beauty of it and how this is what our bodies were made for that we can do this. It started this passion in my heart that I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this. I want to encourage all my mama friends to experience this and just have that encounter that is just so beautiful and no one else can experience but you and your baby. So I left that night like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I can't wait for my birth. So, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you, Shannon, had like a lot more of, I mean, you were the oldest of 7, so you got to see a lot more of that or whatever. Like, I had no frame of reference for it. And as a guy, obviously, this is a different conversation, you know, for me. But, you know, just learning sort of vicariously in our own journey, watching Shannon learn things, watching her, you know, it was just, was certainly eye-opening for me. So I feel like in a different way, I understand that excitement because when you get that knowledge, you know, you step back and you go, wow, like this is, you know, this is crazy. One of our good friends, Tara Canerva, we'll have her, we're going to do something. Well, we've had her on Life After PTSD before, for sure. And obviously her husband, Alan's been on a ton of times. He's one of our key people. But she just talks about this idea of like, we've got to stop scheduling C-sections and things like that. We've got to, and that's not a slant or slight or whatever. She's not trying to, it's more so an acknowledgement that, man, you're like 98% of the time with zero intervention, a woman's body is going to carry that baby to delivery. No problems, no issues. Like, it knows what it's doing. Ladies, you want to speak to that?
I think it's a big misconception that our bodies, it's almost like in our culture today, we feel like our bodies are not able to do the job. And so we're going to just jump in there and help it along. But mm-hmm. most of the time we don't need help. And it's a beautiful, very intimate, very powerful experience that is really, you can't really replicate that feeling or the experience in any other way. It is, I feel like it is foundational to a woman and her intimate life with her, like in her own brain. I think it's foundational to her development of who she is as a woman, as a wife, as a mom. It affects her self-esteem. It affects her just mentally and emotionally, physically, like so many ways. It is so important. And when we misunderstand that and we jump in the middle and we mess with the natural route that things could take, I feel like we're cheating people. And that's what makes me so sad. And that's why we were so excited to share with you from the beginning on your, before you had your first birth, was because it's something we're so passionate about. I specifically am very passionate about birth. I call myself a birth junkie because I just, every birth story, I want to hear it all. Like, I want to know how it went because it is so important to me that every mom takes a minute and thinks about her experience and remembers that experience and shares that experience and celebrates that experience, because too often our culture is like, oh great, you had a healthy baby, yay, move on. And we miss celebrating that momentous moment. So it's very important.
So you had a momentous moment with birth number one, right?
I did.
You know, now, Christy, I'm not going to make the mistake of saying, was it a normal birth? I've been coached up way too many times to say, Jeff, there is no normal birth, right? Every birth is different. And I acknowledge that, but you know, after talking with Shannon and maybe some others and learning about what was possible, what was birth number one like for you? What was that experience like for you?
Birth number one was a beautiful experience. Me and my husband just worshiped through it. He was a great coach, and we had our tennis ball, like y'all told us to bring to the hospital. We did have our births at the hospital. But
okay, wait, pause. You got to explain that to the audience. Like, tell them about the tennis ball, because they're going like, yeah, wait, what?
So y'all gave us a heads up. Okay, if back labor were to happen, bring a tennis ball and just massage that lower part of your back, and it gets you through the contractions. It really does. And so I remember that night at the hospital, even while we labored at home all day, and then when it got to that point where I'm like, okay, I think it's time to go in, we spent 2 hours at the hospital, and then our baby girl came, but we used that tennis ball.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we used it.
2 hours at the hospital. That is so perfect.
Did you hear what she said? I loved what you said, Christy. You said we labored at home all day, and I think, knowing Roberto and knowing y'all and just the love that you have for each other and everything, I know that, you know, obviously your body is the one in labor, but it is a tag. It's a partnership, right, of sorts. And absolutely. I mean, and that can make or break, you know, can it? So when you're there, absolutely. So talk to me about that. You labored it. Am I putting words into your mouth there, or did I pick up on that rightfully so?
No, we totally labored at home. And I know I could not have done it without him. He was there speaking truth over me and reminding me, like, okay, this is what your body was made to do. Like, it's not pain. And that was a big thing too. Even when we got to the hospital, I told the nurses, like, I know you need to ask me what my pain level is, 0 to 10, but can you just use the word contractions? Because it's a mind game. Yes. Like, it's totally up in your mind. And if they keep saying, what's your pain like? And I told them, I'm going to start to believe that it's pain, but these are contractions that I'm like, my body's doing what it needs to do. So just ask me, just use the word contractions. What are your contractions like?
That's so brilliant. I think that's fantastic.
It was so surprising to them that I'd say that. So my husband really reminded me that too. And I needed that.
That's fantastic. I think the fact that you can differentiate between when somebody says pain and it's a bad thing, oh, there's pain, that signals there's something wrong in my body, to this is a good discomfort. My body is actually working in an appropriate way, just like you were working out and then afterwards you have sore muscles because your body worked in a really good, appropriate way. Same thing. And I think that was brilliant that you were able to differentiate that for them and help kind of keep your brain in the right space. That was awesome.
It's like, my baby's trying to come out. Just let it.
Yes, exactly.
So then, you know, you get home and maybe give us a snapshot of sort of the whole, you know, thereafter leading up to baby number two. What was that like for you?
Yeah. So it's funny, baby number one, the nurses, they kept, anytime they came in, they're like, you're probably going to go, it's probably going to be tomorrow. Like, we check in at 8 o'clock and, you know, they come in and they're like, okay, you're probably, it's going to be tomorrow sometime. Just go through the night. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I just remember thinking that, but just keeping my mind, you know, at peace, get in the zone. And then 2 hours later, thankfully she came, everything was great. Beautiful experience. Leading up to baby number two, which was our boy, our second, we had our boy, and it was 16 months later. Yes, 16 months later. And
writing another things kind of, I need to tell marriage prep things that can also happen. Yes, I'll make a note of that, Christy.
Yes. And I actually started labor in church service. Like, it was during the sermon and I just kind of looked over at my husband. I'm like, you know what, I think I'm gonna have a baby today. I just started, you know, I was timing the contractions, and after church ended, I like walked to the kids' church to pick up my daughter. And I remember like having to stop. I like stopping every once in a while. And one of the techs was like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm in labor. It's okay. I'm okay. I got this. And so I picked up my daughter and we went back home. And a couple hours later, I called my parents, you know, can you come over? I need to, you know, start focusing on getting through these. But so we got to around like 11 o'clock, we decided to go into the hospital. And I had in my mind that, like, okay, first baby came really quick and it was awesome. Second baby, it should be even quicker, right? No. That's what everyone's telling me. And so even the nurses were telling me, and even my midwife came in because she was like, okay, you know, we got this. And so I think when it didn't happen that way, I started like, why isn't this going quicker? Like, and so I started, it was like harder for me to relax mm-hmm. with that one. I think that's kind of why it took longer, because I kept believing, okay, why is this taking so long? But he came like at 7 o'clock in the morning, and another natural birth, and it was beautiful. And, I did have some issues, hold on. Can I pause? Can I say placenta?
Oh yeah,
of course. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay. So he came around 7 o'clock and I did have
the FCC just barged into the house and they're like, no, you can't do that. You guys are going to be off the air. Thank you, Chrissy, for ending life after PTSD right there. Oh, listen, much worse has been said on this show at times. Okay. Like, hey, we deal with traumatized people. Okay. So come on. That puts
it's okay. Totally fine. Okay. Awesome. Okay. I just want to make sure.
She's so polite. I love it.
Well, he came about 7 o'clock, and then he went right to my chest and we were having our bond, and about 30 minutes later I started not feeling well, and my blood pressure went down. It was 50/35. I lost over half my blood. And I just remember telling my midwife, like, hey, I don't feel good. And it was because my placenta I couldn't pass it. Like, it wasn't coming out. So once I said, like, I wasn't feeling well, she was like, we got to go. And they kept trying to get it out, to get my placenta out. And they were worried it was attached to my uterus. Oh. And so they were really worried about that. So they, like, handed Israel, my son, to my husband and rushed me out. So then they were about to do a hysterectomy on me. And of course, you know, so many thoughts go through your mind, not what I was thinking, but my husband's like, that means we're not going to be able to have any more kids, you know? Yeah. But of course they wanted me to be okay, you know? So they rushed me back. They gave me anesthesia. And the doctor came in and he was like, let me just try one more time. And really, like, as soon as I had that anesthesia, it came right out.
Wow.
So it like relaxed. I don't know. It relaxed my body or something. I don't know. But thank God it came out. Yeah. So really, that's kind of where we noticed like the powerful birth of our third. And the miraculous things that happened, that was like step number one, where we noticed like the enemy trying not to let that happen. So I think it went back to that happening. Yeah.
All right. So you're under anesthesia at that point, but like how was it, like a local anesthesia, or were you like actually knocked out? I mean, where were you, you know?
Yeah, they gave it to me and it was like for like five minutes. Okay. I like wasn't under very long at all. It came right out and then they took me off of it.
So, I mean, Chrissy, at that point, you know, the last thought that's really going through your mind is that maybe that conversation of with Roberto, this could be it, right? This is no more kids at this point. Yeah. Did you even have time to process that? I mean, cause I hear that and I go, that's gotta be a traumatizing thought, but not if they're just rushing in and then gassing you up, you know? Right.
Yeah. I remember not feeling well.
Yeah,
like I remember like just going in and out of it.
Yeah.
So I just didn't have time to process that.
There you go.
So you wake up. Was,
well, yeah, I'm sure he was. Yeah. Oh, so, goodness. So you wake up and all is fine. You're in recovery, right? And
yep.
A couple extra days in the hospital, or are you right on normal schedule? Like what was the story?
No, right on normal schedule. Yeah. Everything was great.
Yeah.
So we got to go home
and you go home and everything is fine. Okay. So right away I'm going, there are a lot of women that are going, that would be a trauma birth experience. Yeah. And this is no, but I think this is a great illustration right here, because it's interesting how everybody processes things. We never understand why, you know, somebody goes through one event, another person goes through a very similar event and, you know, they have entirely different reactions sometimes. You know, it's just, there's no, the way that we process things, we don't always understand why that happens and what works, because, you know, you seemed to be okay after that was all said and done. A lot wouldn't have been, right?
Yeah. And I just, you know, I'm like, you know what? That was the enemy trying to get me not to have any more babies. So this next one is going to be a world changer.
So tell us about that next one. All right. So how long was that? Another 16 months later? Or what was
that was a surprise. So our second and third are about 22 months apart. So still close, but it was further.
It is close. Yeah.
But yeah, the definitely surprise.
All right,
and so, we waited to find out the gender. So nice. We had our girl and our boy, and this time we wanted to wait.
So tell us about that story with the third one. All right, let's talk about that, and then we'll go ahead and we'll take a break and talk about thereafter. But I want to get us through the point where, you know, yeah, just tell us about that birth if you would.
Okay, so third birth is I actually went over my due date. A week over, and nowadays they don't let you go past 41 weeks or they'll induce you. So already I was kind of feeling like, oh, this is not what I want. This is not the experience I want. I was very just emotional about it. But as we got closer to the due date, I did feel peace. I'm like, you know what? If this is what God wants for this birth, then I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. So the morning of my induction date, I went into labor. I started having contractions at home. And even like when, you know, as we were leaving the house and when we got to the hospital, I'm like, I'm here to be induced, but I'm in labor.
I beat y'all to it.
So there. Right? Right. If you don't know, now you know, right? There
yeah. You go. So
never stop a woman in labor, by the way. That's just, you know, just... There's some young men, male doctors in residency out there. Just take note, okay? Take note. Yes. All right.
I got checked in. Yes, yeah. I got checked in at 7 in the morning. Got checked in. Everything was great. My midwife walks in and she's like, hey, I hear you're contracting. And literally my water broke. like she heard her voice and was like, okay, here I
go. We're ready. Let's go. Yeah.
My water broke, which was awesome. That was the first time I experienced a natural water break. The first two, I got to 10 centimeters ready to push and my water hadn't, broken. So this is my first experience of that, which is really cool. And, then about a couple hours later, we noticed the baby's heart rate would go up and down. And so I would keep having to change positions and trying to get it back down. And then we got to about around 11 o'clock. So a couple hours later, I was ready to go. I was ready to push. And there was a prolapse cord. So basically, not only was the cord around the baby's neck, but the cord came out first. And so she was like, okay, we have to do an emergency C-section. So they rushed me off, which backstory, the phones were not working at the hospital, which is weird, you know, but they weren't working. So she couldn't call the doctor to come in. She couldn't call the anesthesiologist. She couldn't even call the nurse.
Yeah.
So my midwife was there. It just so happens that the nurse walked in during that final check. So the nurse was there. So she was able to help my midwife get me out of the room. And she's like, I don't have any way to contact these people who we need for the C-section, but we just got to go. So thankfully, my midwife acted on that. So my poor husband.
Pause for 1 second here. Yeah. Can we do a little shout out to your midwife? Would that be okay? All right.
Yes.
So Stacy, you're going to listen to this because I'm going to message you and tell you about the show, which I've never even done before. But Stacy Buchek at Lock Haven here in Orlando. And it's just fantastic. I mean, I'm a little partial to her because she helped deliver baby number 5, but let me catch. And so
she did.
Partial. But I mean,
she is the best.
But she is the best, and there are a lot of midwives out there, and we've even had some that have been on the show before who do this, and I hope that inspires some mamas out there, because these midwives, they know their stuff.
Yeah. Right? Yes, they do.
This is not just, oh, I like babies and I want to come in and help you, you know, get calm and be a part of a birth. They know what to do. She acted in a moment of crisis, you know, had control of things and got you to safety. And so well done, yeah, Stacey.
And really just an advocate, like the whole time she was just reassuring me, like, your baby is going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Yeah. We're going to get her out safely. Like, so the whole time. So the nurse was in there miraculously. So they go. Okay. So they're on their way to the OR. They just so happen to see the anesthesiologist. Oh, so Stacey pulled her and they keep going to the OR. Later that day, the anesthesiologist tells Stacey, hey, I just felt something in my spirit tell me to come to this floor.
She wasn't even on the floor?
She was on a different floor.
Oh my word.
And just something in her spirit told her to come here at that very moment we were passing. Okay. So Stacey grabs her, keep going to the OR. The doctor on call was in the basement. Like they, and so Stacey's like, I have no way to get to him. They keep going to the OR. He shows up. Oh. So she grabs him. Oh. Okay. Later that day, he tells Stacey, hey, I just felt like I needed to come to this floor. Like he had no reason to go to that floor. He just felt like he needed to go. So, and then so they get to the OR. No C-sections were scheduled that day. No C-sections. So they told me they had 10 minutes to save this baby's life. They had 10 minutes to get her out. So they get to the OR. The technicians there, one of the technicians, she's like, I'm just going to set it up just in case. Like literally, it was like a movie. Like, this is what they told me. I get into the room. She puts the last tool down.
Can
you believe that? Can you believe that? It's like everything lining up is like they wanted this to be safe. This is what, you know.
Christy, did a barista walk in too and hand you a coffee out of feeling as well? I just felt like, I'm just curious. Like this, that, because that's probably the only other detail that could make this any better, right?
It's, you know? Crazy. Like, and they had her out in 9 minutes.
Oh my word. Nice. This child's a miracle.
So yes. having seen with our first that, you know, Shannon had a C-section, we had a breached baby and then four VVACs thereafter. But, you know, I was right there and I saw a C-section, right? You can't unsee a C-section. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But I was right there and I saw it. And, honestly, I don't know that we've ever even spent a whole lot of time, you and I, right, just talking about like what you experienced and felt during that time. I feel like you were just so under and doing whatever. I mean, Christy, where were you at that point? You're getting cut up and doing whatever, you know?
So I was, I had a natural, it was all natural up to that point. So they had to put me under, like, got so.
Yeah. Yeah, no time for an epidural. Yeah. No, there's no time.
Nine minutes. Yeah. They put me under, and then I just remember waking up in the recovery room.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, first memory thereafter, just right there in the recovery room, right?
Waking up, and then it was actually a beautiful memory. My husband came in, and we, like I told you, we waited to know the gender, and he waited for me.
He waited?
So, and he said, one of each. So we got one of each, babe.
Yes! All the nurses were like,
oh my gosh.
They're like, that is so sweet. And so he brings her in, and then we got to find out it was a girl together.
Oh, so cool. Yay, Roberto. So cool. That's so good.
That's my boy, Berto, right there coming through, getting it done. All right, so this is great. Let's take a break right here, and then we're going to come back, and we will talk about the really leading up to the fourth birth, all right? A lot of story to go on there. And so hang with us and we'll catch you on the flip side. You are listening to Life After PTSD.
Hey, Life After PTSD listeners. We're glad that you love other stories of healing, but what about you? First Orlando Counseling is the premier trauma therapy center in Central Florida with a full staff of trained clinicians ready to help you clear your trauma without re-traumatization. Childhood abuse, relationship abuse, a traumatic car accident, birth trauma, first responder or military trauma, even phobias. You don't have to live like this. It's time for you to heal. Schedule a consultation today by visiting firstorlandocounseling.com or call 407-514-4470. It's that easy.
Here we are back with Life After PTSD, having a great conversation with Christy Bruno, talking today about birth trauma. And Christy, you've done an amazing job of sharing your story thus far. So many fun details in there, but man, let's get to the sort of climactic moment. I mean, I feel like there's been like 10 of those already.
I know.
But like the real one that led us to do this show, you know, for sure. So you come out of recovery, Roberto's there. You have the gender reveal right there in that moment. Okay. At some point you get discharged, you go home, and now we're pregnant again.
Yeah. So recovery was kind of awful. I just remember even my time in the, since it was emergency, they had to act fast. And they did great at putting me back together. And they even told me, hey, we did it in a way where you can have more kids. So yay. And I'm like, okay, that's not what I want to think about right now.
I'm not going to lie. Just having seen it, I do feel like it's like a bit of a twisted game of operation, you know, except there's no buzzers that go off, you know, but it's like, you know, doc, make sure the spleen goes back to where it's supposed to go right there. He's like, no, I got this. And I'm like, all right. You know, I saw the Seinfeld episode where they dropped a junior mint in an open surgery. And so part of me is kind of like, don't do that. Okay. Just make, as long as that doesn't happen, you know.
That's good. Oh, so, no. I know yes. for sure. I don't have any junior mints inside. That's good.
Just saying. Oh man. So, all right. So recovery. Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly on average is a lot longer than a normal delivery for sure. Right. And so that's a new experience for it.
Yes. The first two were natural. So I was up right away. Like it was awesome. And so for my third, having this scar, but not only a physical scar, it was really emotional because I had set myself up for this beautiful experience again. I really just had to take a step back and realize, you know, it's okay. You know, our baby is safe. She's healthy. I am safe and I'm healthy. But it was really hard for me to do. And I'm a 2 on the Enneagram. Do you guys do Enneagram?
Oh gosh, yeah. Yes.
I'm the helper.
Yes.
And so knowing, like, just seeing everybody having to do everything for me was hard on my heart. I'm just like, why are you picking up toys for my older kids? I should be doing this. Like, it sounds silly, but it was really affecting me.
Yeah.
And so just recovery took a bit longer, just getting back into this swing of things. But my bond with her was so strong. Mm. Like, I nursed her longer than I did with my first two. I kept her in my room for like over a year. My husband was like, get her out. But I think because of that experience that I missed, I just wanted more time with her. And I think that's why it was hard for me to put her in her own room.
Yeah, totally.
Well, how long was it before you guys found out you had another on the way? 16 months or?
Well, oh gosh. Yeah. These two will be 18 months apart.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just tell you that is a really important number. I'm sure Stacy's told you if you want to have a VBAC, they have to be 18 months apart.
Okay.
So that's the thing. Like, they won't even give you a trial of labor unless your babies are 18 months apart. So that is beautiful.
Meaning 18 months or longer, right? That's shorter than 18 that.
18 months or longer, yes. Yeah. Or longer than that. But definitely not under, I mean, very rare will anybody give you a trial of labor to have a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after cesarean section, after, where, I mean, if you have not spaced them out before. That mark. So that is awesome.
Look at that.
I know. There perfect. Just right into
timing
the cut.
Time is right on. So you know, when was it in this time of pregnancy that it really started to hit you? You know, when was it? I remember you talked about posting on Instagram, but was there anything leading up to that, or what was the story, you know, behind that?
We were when we found out, it was a surprise, and I kind of cried when I first found out because we thought we were done. Like, we thought we closed that chapter. And
sure.
So just it reopening, it took about a day because then I got really excited again because I love babies. And so we were excited about adding another blessing into our family. And but it was that first appointment, and I waited to go in for my appointment. I'm like, fourth baby, I don't need to go in for all these. that's probably bad. But it was about 16 weeks I had my first appointment, and they that's when she told me, like, my options, like, hey, because you had this experience, this is what's gonna happen. And it was just new to me, like, oh, I did have that experience, and now you're saying there's a chance I don't get to have this. There's, like, now I don't get to go past my due date. Like, all these limitations just started, I think that was like a trigger for me. Like, okay, something happened to me that's causing this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so even like before that day, I didn't even like think anything of it. Like I was pumped. I was excited. I guess I was just naive thinking, oh, okay. You know?
So it's really interesting because it's almost like there were consequences for a situation that happened to you. It wasn't like you were bad or irresponsible or something, you know, that you chose to happen. Something happened to your body that, you know, forced a C-section. And then now all of a sudden there are consequences to that, which is really hard for someone to realize about their body. It almost feels like your body betrayed you. Like how could that have happened? And why did this happen? And so, yeah, that's a really difficult thing to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
That's what trauma is. You know, that's the crazy thing is that, you know, majority of the time that people go through that or experience that, it's not something that they asked for. It's something that really is sort of outside of the script of, you know, the normal human experience, if there is such a thing. And, but there is, because, you know, the vast majority, and again, I want to be very careful not to call any birth normal. Every birth has a story and it's different, but the vast majority of them, you know, are capable of going to, you know, a place where they don't have to result in a C-section or something like that, right? But when it does, you know, I know some elect, but in your case, obviously, Christy, you go into that third one thinking this is how it's going to go down. It doesn't go down that way. And, you know, now, boom, we have an experience outside of, you know, what you thought was going to be your script and your norm.
So I have one more question, Christy. You mentioned earlier that you were an Enneagram 2. Does that mean that you also didn't maybe take the time to sit down afterwards and like process for yourself emotionally and mentally, like how things went down because you were just busy, you know, serving and loving and bonding and doing all the mama things?
That's probably what happened. I was so just focused on, okay, getting back up. Yeah. I just need to get back for my family. I need to get back for my other two babies.
Yeah.
I need to get back for my husband. And I guess, you know, I remember thinking like, this isn't fair. Yeah. Like, this is not what I wanted. And, but, at my 6-week checkup for that third baby, Stacy did encourage, that's where she told me all those miraculous things that happened. And, I did feel that peace at the 6-week appointment, like, okay, it was beautiful. Like what happened? And it's not fair that that happened to me, but, it's okay. But I think you are right. Like those weeks where I was so upset really affected me and I didn't even know it.
Your body holds on to those things and remembers it for you, kind of. I mean, it's almost like, and this is why when you reached out after I commented on your picture on Instagram, I felt it was really important to like say that to you. I didn't want to like be stepping out of bounds with you, but I just feel like, because our bodies remember those things, they also try to protect us. And so they bury them kind of deep down in there. And then when something triggers that emotion to come up, it will come up and it will totally affect your next birth because it's your one person, like you're, you know, one whole person. And so that will come up again if you don't address it. And so I would just so wanted that not to be a factor for your fourth birth because you've had some amazing births and I didn't want that to, you know, change that story for you. So that's one of the reasons I mentioned it.
I appreciate that. And at that 16-week appointment where that trigger happened, she did tell me like, hey, you're a great candidate for a VBAC. You know, you've had two successful and really three, that your third one was a fluke that happened. So you're a good candidate, but I still had that trigger that happened.
Yeah.
And so really at 16 weeks, that's when I started just becoming fearful. Like I had crazy dreams. I couldn't sleep. Anytime like my husband would talk about the birth, I would just cry. And I'm like, it wasn't even like, okay, maybe I'll try getting the epidural this time, or maybe I should just go with the C-section, or maybe like do this or this, all my options. It was, I can't do this. Like I literally can't do this again. And which is not the place you want to be at or you can be at for birth.
Right. It's not an option.
But Christy, is it fair to say, I mean, we worked with that trauma and knew that we were dealing with something at a subconscious level, but is it fair to say that even when you were speaking, I can't do this or whatever, that was coming from, you know, something triggering in your subconscious or whatever? Like it was just, 'cause that's not who you would have been you know, on the surface, right? I mean, that was
right. Yeah. Right? Because I was so passionate about, oh, this is what I was created to do.
Right.
You know, I would encourage my friends and my mama friends, like I would be texting them during labor, like, you got this, like breathe through it, you know.
You've turned into Shannon. Look at you.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so honored. And I think my husband realized that too. Like, okay, yeah. This does not sound like you. Mm-hmm. You never say those words, even when we're at the hospital, even when you're at that, when you're 8 centimeters dilated,
right.
You never say, I can't do this, you know? And so just hearing that and just seeing, like, I mean, I would start shaking. I was just so fearful and I just couldn't shake it. Yeah.
Wow.
So you guys connect on Instagram and, you know, Christy, I know you had put the word out there and kind of talked about needing prayer and just need some encouragement and support and everything. You, Shannon, you make a, I don't know, I hope you liked your photo. You made a comment apparently too, but I hope you liked it as well. You know, well, just actually, saying, you know.
Yes, I liked your picture first. That's okay. Exactly what happened. I liked your picture first.
But okay. Then we want to break Instagram protocol here. Okay, this is very important. So,
but then we talked privately.
Sure.
So it wasn't for the whole world to know.
She followed up asking about how I was doing.
Sure. Well, and it's funny because, you know, normally this is, I think, the second time, Shannon, that you've even been on this show. And I'm thinking the last time you were on. Maybe it's three, but I the last time I remember though was with I'm sorry, it was without. Yeah, we did the breastfeeding trauma, but the first time that you had ever been on the show was with Shannon Rowell, who we had back in episode in the 30s. I forgot which number it was, who had a birth trauma, and I just remember hearing her story, and we knew that we were going to do that episode with her, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to get. I told that Shannon, I said, you need to meet my Shannon. You know, I'm going to be as useless as a catcher in T-ball in this show right here, but I just want to sit and participate and let you guys talk and do your thing. And so you guys got to talk. And so, you know, so you knew already, you know, the vast shift, posture shift, you know, subconscious shift really that could happen, you know, in a person and around this stuff. And so, you know, you get me involved, right? Which wasn't necessarily getting me. It was like, we need somebody with our team, somebody in our sort of circle, you know, needs to work. And, you know, and so we did. And Christy, I share that experience. And I want to just preface this first. Normally on this show, we're bringing on, you know, people that therapists have worked with, coaches have worked with, and they're just bringing on their clients and they get to tell the story. There's only been, I don't know, like two or three in the entire 90 something episodes that we've got so far that were people that I got to work with directly, right? Where it was just me or whatever. So like, this is not like, hey, let's promote Jeff's clients here at all. I got the privilege of working with you though. But the reality is anyone who is trained in trauma-focused NLP, which is what I used with you, could have done this, right? I mean, heck, your husband could have done this if he had knew, you know, if he had known the skills and techniques, and they were not that crazy. Christy, you get on and we start building you a movie theater. How'd that work for you? You're like, what is this, man? All right, oh my gosh, this isn't going to help anything, right? You know?
It took a couple times for me to like quiet my mind enough to be in the moment. I remember saying, can we try it again? Can we try it again? but once I got to that space, it really just helped me, like just replaying the birth. And at first I remember even telling you like, hey, I don't think I'm traumatized by Selah's birth. It's the focus on the new birth. Yeah, like this is what I'm fearful about.
Yeah.
And you're like, just trust me.
Well, and so as a side commentary on that, what we often see is that, you know, sometimes the presenting problem is the problem, but it's, man, it's so many times it's just not, you know, it's, there's a root cause to it. And so when you're working with trauma, like, you know, if people were to think about this, the numbers are astounding for starters of the things that people have experienced in their lives. And there are a lot of people out there that have experienced many, many, you know, things. Christy, you know, one of the things that we have on this show a lot of times is we have a lot of military guys. And so, you know, you sit down with one of our military guys and, you know, our armed services, and we just ask them, hey, what's maybe like the biggest trauma? And the 15 things pop into their mind right away, right? And then, you know, for them, this great fear, I think, comes over them that says, oh my gosh, I've got to work through all of these things. And that's not usually the case, right? The way that the brain and the mind is wired, you know, you can get to those root cause things and the brain just, it knows how to heal, right? And we always say that trauma is your brain and your body's perfect reaction to an abnormal circumstance. It's just the problem is that our subconscious or our unconscious mind is super literal, right? So it doesn't get that, okay, I was keeping her safe in this moment, but the reality is she wants to have another baby and there's emotions attached to it and all this other, you know, all this other stuff. And so anyway, having said that, you know, when we're working with these sorts of things, we just know that we better get at the root cause first, because it's like just putting a Band-Aid on the surface, right? And so as we worked through the process, you and I, you know, obviously it became evident that, it was probably birth three, right?
Right, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
So you go through that process. We took a few minutes to set things up because I explain things probably more than I need to. I should have just said, all right, here's what you're going to do, and we'll be done in 25 minutes. But the net result was probably, what, about 25 minutes worth of work, of actual work in that conversation, Christy? So,
yeah.
You know, I always walk away going, all right, sometimes people need multiple sessions on any given thing. We can run the protocol a couple times with them. Just depends on the person and everything. But I remember checking in with, a couple days later on Instagram. How are you doing? Did you sleep well? It's like, you're great. You're fine. Everything's wonderful. Now you're like, you got your zest for birthing babies again back.
But even that night, I think, like you said, I was like at a two, get back to zero. Yep. Like yep. I could tell the story.
Yep.
But I still had some emotions. It was like a couple of days later where it just something clicked.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this.
So let's give a shout out on that point right there to Carrie Russo. All right. Cause I got to, you know, Carrie's regular on the show here, obviously, and does this with me most often. You know, I at a two, Christy, a year ago, I probably would have said, okay, we got to keep going. All right. You call me first thing in the morning. We're going to do this. We're going to do whatever. Carrie has this rule that I've just really come to adopt because I've seen it be true so many times. And she calls it the 6 hour to 6 day rule. Okay. And this is not anything necessarily formalized. It's purely observation that what happens is, you know, we kind of bring up a memory, and what we're doing with memory reconsolidation, which is what trauma-focused NLP does, and there's many other techniques that do this as well. EMDR in the right hands, or in the hands of a good clinician, can do this for sure. Accelerated resolution therapy, RTM. There's a few of them out there that do the same process, but at the core of this is memory reconsolidation, and so we are reactivating a memory from the long term memory, one that has not been able to fully process with proper emotions attached to it. It's got inappropriate, unwarranted emotions attached to it. And we sort of like what happens when it gets consolidated in the first place, meaning it moves from short term to long term, and maybe some of the unnecessary details, et cetera, are kind of stripped away and lost. And then it's put in that rightful place of, you know, whatever area of the brain. And, you know, it's a nostalgic thing, or it's a happy, or it's a sad, or like an appropriate sadness, that sort of. So we're sort of reactivating that. And it's almost like we're taking, you know, what's trying to be sort of hardened concrete and making it wet cement again. Right. And so that 6 hour to 6 day rule is kind of what happens when you reactivate this thing. And now it's like wet cement. Right. And the brain's going to do a better job kind of drying that cement a lot of times than just doing another session and trying to artificially do that. I mean, in the same way that you have a passion for that natural birthing process, like the more you get into the understanding of the neurology of this process and everything, like the brain knows how to heal. Right. But sometimes it just needs a little boost. Right. The body knows how to deliver babies. And sometimes it just needs a little boost right there. And so, you know, for me, I learning to allow somebody like you to get to a two. And for the listener that's maybe confused about that, maybe this is the first time you've ever listened to the show, that's just a subjective score, subjective like unit of distress score right there. Hey, on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 is no negative, inappropriate, unwarranted emotions. 10 is a flood of negative emotions, right? Full on adverse reaction. Where are you? And so you were, I don't remember where you started. Were you like an 8, something like that, or a 9? I don't remember what the number was. I wrote it down somewhere, but
7, I think.
7. So okay. Yeah, it was pretty high. And everybody's different. Again, that's subjective. We have military guys that are sometimes, they're like losing their mind. Yeah, it's a 4. And I'm like, that ain't no 4, brother. But whatever it was, 7, let's just say it was a realistic, legitimate 7, you know, for you. But you get down on that 2, you know, you're under the 3 or 4 that we would really kind of say, we're not done right now, you know, but you get down on that 2 and then look at you, right? Look at you. A couple days later and girl, yeah.
And I think like, my story is I would be joyful like during the day. Like I post those pictures and I was really like, I could say like, okay, I was excited. It was just at those certain moments, something like the conversations I would have where we would prep, where we would plan, okay, let's talk about our birth plan, that would bring me down, like, or that would shoot me up to like a 10, you know? Yeah, and so at that moment, I was probably say, okay, a 7, but then if we were to keep talking about it, it's probably,
it's inching up. It's like the little yodeling climber from The Price is Right. Right. He's about to go over the edge right there. You know, hey, tell me this just for fun, just for kicks. What are the bullet points of the birth plan right there? What are you looking forward to about that? Let's talk about that.
So birth plan is they're telling me I can't go past my due date. So y'all pray for me August 27th. Hopefully the baby will come before that. And that is what I'm having faith for. Sure. Like, I believe that's what I'm believing for.
Sure.
And we talked about, I had my appointment today. We talked about the plan. So if the baby doesn't come early, they'll induce me or we'll have a scheduled C-section and I'm okay with it.
0 to 10, where are you right now as you just said that?
I'm at a 0.
That's so cool.
Like, honest, that's awesome. Honestly, I'm so excited, and I do have faith for the natural labor, like, and that's what I'm believing, and that's what I have faith for. So.
Christy, when we first had that first birth trauma on this show, you know, many, many episodes again with Shannon Rowell, I was in a season where, you know, we had done a lot of shows with military. Probably a few with, I think at that point we had done some with abuse and things like that, you know, which tend to be the ones that are the most obvious, I guess you would say. You know, a lot of people realize, yeah, that's clearly a, you know, a traumatic memory. And I just remember that birth trauma just being like just one of many in the course of a month or two that I'm going, man, every time I feel like I have trauma put in a box with a real succinct label, like that, the whole, it just gets bigger, right? It just gets blown up and it, like, to the point where I'm like, how did I not see that? Of course that would be a trauma. I mean, heck, I'm a dad. I've seen this with my wife. Of course that would be a trauma. How did I miss that, right? You know, how did I miss that sort of thing? But then in talking to Tara, who I mentioned before, Tara Canerva, you know, her story, as she shared previously on this show, was, you know, having a first child and really kind of going into that process. Now, granted, they were doing humanitarian work in a foreign country. And so, you know, she had a baby in a place where people were not speaking the same language and the care was not the same. Everything was different. And there was some complications and things like that here and there that definitely, you know, got her educated thereafter, right? What is this supposed to be like? What's it? And I think for her, she began working out of the out of the remembrance, if you will, of that first experience, knowing that so many other mamas, you know, it's not that they couldn't go through what she went through and be as strong or be whatever, but they didn't have to. Right. Her goal became sort of like the reclaim the beauty of what that process could, you know, could be like. And I think that's part of what this episode is about, because there are mamas out there, right, who had emergency C-sections or whatever and don't ever think that they could have a VBAC. Or there's some that are, you know, for what, maybe they had a friend that had a traumatic birth and they're afraid of even getting pregnant in the first place or whatever. Like, I think these stories have to be told for the sake of saying, you know what, like, even when there are some hiccups, right, you can get over that. You know, you can get over that thing and get some peace again and regain your sort of zest and vigor, you know, for that birthing process. And that's your story, Christy, right?
Can I just explain something really fast? Yeah. This is why this is so important for the birthing process. Your cervix, where the baby comes out of, is a sphincter, right? When you are stressed, when you have trauma, when you have fear, fight or flight, those sphincters close tight to protect your body. But when you're trying to birth a baby, that's not helping you because baby can't get out. Then you're stuck and then you end up with all kinds of other interventions. So if you have fear or you have bad experiences or poor outcomes in your birthing process, it is vital that you get healing from that, because otherwise your body won't let go. And so when you can get freedom from that, then everything is, you can relax, you can open up, you can be ready to birth that baby quickly, easily, with less pain in a shorter amount of time than if you hadn't had that healing ahead of time. So that's why it's so important from a physical perspective.
Because first-time parents will go through a Lamaze class and things like that where they're coaching breathing and relaxation and everything, but so often that's just simply at a conscious level, right? And so what happens when you're in that birth moment and everything, and you're doing all of those tools that you thought you knew, and then something triggers that maybe in some cases you don't even know where that comes from. And now it's right. panic, and now that very relaxation is prevented. Right. And so, you know, again, it's a beautiful way that our brains are designed and everything, but we have to understand that design and work with that design and treat and heal that design, you know, when there's been, we'll say an injury. And we like to say that all the time, that trauma is not an illness, it's an injury. Right? It's an injury. And that's literally what happened with you, and it can heal. And it's a beautiful story.
Yeah. And that was helpful to me to hear that. Like, okay, there is a reason why I'm feeling this way. My brain is trying to keep me safe. Mm-hmm. But like Shannon said, like, for birth, you got to unlock that. Yeah. Like, my brain locked it up. You have to unlock it. You have to get access and let it go mm-hmm. to be able to feel that peace. And so, yeah. Yeah.
Christy, as we kind of wrap things up here, you know, maybe a word of encouragement. You know, you're a mama, you know, staring down what in about a month, hopefully, right? We're talking actually less now, you know. By the time this thing airs, actually, it will be certainly even closer. But you know, what would you say? There's a mama listening out there right now. You know, whether they're pregnant right now, whether they've gone through a traumatic birth, they're not pregnant, there's a fear about that. Maybe they've never had babies and they're still, you know, I'm not asking you to sort of change the world right now with your words. I mean, you are that good, though. I think you could do it. But, you know, but Christy, what do you say to just as a word of encouragement? Is, you know, maybe is there a word of encouragement you might leave them with as we wrap things up today?
If there's a word, well, first of all, if I can do it, you can do it. Just a word of encouragement. It's okay that you're feeling this way, and it's okay to get help. You know, birthing is a beautiful experience that you can have with your baby and with your body. And you shouldn't let fear get in the way of that. So there's a way that you can heal from that. And I did it, and you can do it too.
There you go.
That's brilliant.
And then I'm not gonna stop this thing without letting Shannon say some words as well. What do you want to say to the mamas?
It's not just the mamas. It's the women who have had heard the stories, right? All the horror stories that people love to tell. My best friend, blah blah blah. My sister, yep. blah blah blah. Yep. They all want to tell you the stories, and so these poor women go through their life watching these movies and hearing these stories, and then they get pregnant, and they're like, "Oh no, I'm not doing that thing." Just take the baby out. Just get the baby out. So I just want to encourage you. There is hope. Like Christy said, there is a beautiful experience that you don't want to be robbed of. You want to be able to have the freedom to experience that and to enjoy the beauty of it. Nobody else should be able to take that from you. So if you need to find help, if you need to kind of go deep and look for the source of that fear, dig it out, because it's more important that you do the work ahead of time so you can be free to experience that joy.
It's a good word. It's a good word. Christy Bruno, thanks for sharing your story. All the best to you and Roberto. We're pulling for you guys August 27th, right? That's our, that's the day that we're, yeah, that's so cool. We're pulling for you guys, and so, so, so cool. And for the listeners out there, you know, just especially on an episode like this, this is one of those ones that, you know, share this. Somebody in your life needs to hear this. And, you know, if you throw that out there on social media, we'd be appreciative for sure. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to this podcast so that you get notifications when we drop new episodes. That happens like clockwork, literally every single Monday. We're inching up towards episode 100 on this show. So I think we've shown that we've got some staying power here, people. So we want to continue that journey. So help us do it. And find us out there on social media, Life After PTSD on Facebook, Instagram, wherever else. That's really probably all that matters. And we would love to hear from you. If you're out there and you need some help, you need some support, you know, you can email us at info@lifeafterptsd.org. We will catch you next week, just like we do every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon. To learn more about our work, visit lifeafterptsd.org. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to support the show, give us a 5-star review and share it with your tribe. Become a patron at patreon.com/lifeafterptsd. Life After PTSD is produced by Jeff McLaughlin. For production inquiries or to sponsor the show, email info@lifeafterptsd.org.